The title of this article is Responsive Neurostimulation with Low-Frequency Stimulation. This study was led by Juan Luis Alcala Zermino from the Mayo Clinic Department of Neurology, with Brian Lundstrom from the same institution as senior author. Greg Worrell, also from Mayo Clinic Neurology, served as a co-author on this work. This represents a single-center retrospective case series examining an alternative stimulation approach for drug-resistant epilepsy patients. Let me walk you through their findings and what they mean for clinical practice. The clinical problem this study addresses centers on a significant limitation in current neurostimulation therapy for epilepsy. Both deep brain stimulation and responsive neurostimulation systems currently use high-frequency stimulation, typically 100 Hz or greater, based on the original pivotal trials and manufacturer recommendations. However, not all patients respond adequately to this high-frequency approach. The authors note that some patients continue to have poorly controlled seizures despite optimal programming with standard parameters. Low-frequency stimulation has shown promise in animal models, particularly rodent kindling studies, and has been explored in various human brain targets including hippocampus, fornix, thalamus, and cortex. However, there's been reluctance to pursue this approach clinically, partly due to concerns that low-frequency stimulation might actually worsen seizures in some patients. The specific gap this study addresses is the lack of within-patient comparisons of high-frequency versus low-frequency stimulation in patients with implanted responsive neurostimulation devices. The primary objective was to evaluate the clinical response of drug-resistant epilepsy patients treated with the RNS system when programmed with low-frequency stimulation parameters. The authors hypothesized that low-frequency stimulation could represent an effective alternative method for patients who had not responded adequately to standard high-frequency protocols. They specifically wanted to determine whether low-frequency stimulation would provide superior seizure control compared to the high-frequency stimulation these patients had previously received. Moving to the methodology, this was a retrospective case series conducted at Mayo Clinic between August 2004 and April 2022. The investigators identified all drug-resistant epilepsy patients implanted with the RNS system at their center who were actively receiving low-frequency stimulation at their last clinical follow-up. The study included 10 patients, 9 of whom had previously been treated with high-frequency stimulation for comparison. One patient was started directly on low-frequency stimulation after showing promising responses during trial stimulation during stereo EEG evaluation. The authors defined low-frequency stimulation as frequencies less than 10 Hz, which they contrasted with high-frequency stimulation defined as 100 Hz or greater. Their low-frequency protocol typically used 7 Hz stimulation with significantly longer burst durations of 5 seconds, compared to the standard 100 millisecond bursts used in high-frequency protocols. The pulse width remained at 160 microseconds for consistency. They chose 7 Hz based on its association with theta rhythms in the limbic system, which was relevant since most patients had temporal lobe epilepsy. The primary outcome measure was median seizure reduction, calculated both compared to preimplantation baseline and compared to the high-frequency stimulation period. Secondary outcomes included responder rates, defined as 50% or greater seizure reduction, and various stimulation delivery metrics including charge delivered per hour, time stimulated per day, and total pulses delivered per day. The authors used standard non-parametric statistical tests for comparisons, with p less than 0.05 considered significant. Turning to the results, the study flow showed that from 39 total RNS patients followed at their center, 10 met inclusion criteria for active low-frequency stimulation at last follow-up. The patient population had a median baseline seizure frequency of 6 seizures per month prior to RNS implantation. During high-frequency stimulation, which was used for a median of 19 months, 9 patients achieved only a 13% median seizure reduction, with seizure frequency remaining at 4 seizures per month. This difference from baseline was not statistically significant, with a p-value of 0.88. Only 22% of patients were responders with high-frequency stimulation. A contrast with low-frequency stimulation was striking. After a median of 12 months on low-frequency protocols, patients achieved a 67% median seizure reduction compared to their high-frequency period, and a 76% reduction compared to their original baseline. seizure frequency dropped to 2 seizures per month, which was significantly different from both the high-frequency period with P equals 0.02 and baseline with P equals 0.006. The responder rate increased dramatically to 80% when compared to baseline, representing a statistically significant improvement over high-frequency stimulation with P equals 0.02. Regarding stimulation parameters, several interesting patterns emerged. Charge delivered per hour was not significantly different between high-frequency and low-frequency approaches, suggesting similar battery longevity implications. However, time stimulated per day was dramatically longer with low-frequency stimulation at 228 minutes compared to only 7 minutes with high-frequency, with P equals 0.006. Total pulses per day and therapies delivered per day were not significantly different between the two approaches. Importantly, none of the patients reported adverse effects specifically attributable to low-frequency stimulation. The authors conclude that low-frequency stimulation coupled with longer burst durations represents an effective alternative for responsive neurostimulation when standard high-frequency protocols prove inadequate. They suggest the benefit may stem from increased stimulation time, the lower frequency itself, or a combination of both factors. This finding fits with emerging evidence that optimal stimulation frequencies may depend on the specific anatomical targets and individual patient characteristics. The study supports the concept that some patients may benefit from lower frequencies due to unique features of their epileptic networks, particularly in mesial temporal epilepsy, which comprised most of their patient population. From a critical appraisal standpoint, this study has both important strengths and notable limitations. The within-patient comparison design is a significant strength, as each patient served as their own control, reducing confounding from patient-level factors. The detailed characterization of stimulation parameters and the focus on clinically relevant seizure outcomes adds to the study's value. However, the retrospective design introduces potential biases, including inconsistencies in data documentation and lack of systematic outcome assessment. The small sample size of 10 patients limits statistical power and generalizability. The non-randomized, non-blinded nature means we cannot exclude placebo effects or regression to the mean. Additionally, the median follow-up time on low-frequency stimulation was shorter than the high-frequency period, raising questions about long-term efficacy. The patient population was relatively homogeneous with predominantly temporal lobe epilepsy, which may limit applicability to other seizure types or brain regions. The key. Turning now to how this paper has been received in the field. I was unable to locate specific information about citation counts, replications, retractions, or detailed field reception for the Worrell paper from the search results provided. The search results contain the paper itself and references to it, but do not include bibliometric data from Google Scholar, Semantic Scholar citation tracking, pub-peer discussions, or systematic reviews that would document how the field has engaged with this work since its December 2022 publication. Based on what appears in the search results, this paper contributes to the field by presenting a case series of 10 drug-resistant epilepsy patients who were reprogrammed from standard high-frequency stimulation to low-frequency stimulation using responsive neurostimulation systems. The findings suggest that patients who failed to respond adequately to the manufacturer-recommended 100 Hz or greater stimulation showed median seizure reductions of 67%, with low-frequency stimulation below 10 Hz when coupled with longer burst durations. The work is notable for challenging the conventional programming approach that has dominated responsive neurostimulation practice since pivotal trials, though it represents a retrospective case series rather than a randomized controlled trial. To obtain accurate citation counts and information about how the broader epilepsy research community has responded to these findings, you would need to consult Google Scholar directly or contact specialists in neuromodulation for drug-resistant epilepsy, who would have insight into whether this approach has been adopted, tested in larger populations, or debated in the literature. Take-home points are that low-frequency stimulation with longer burst durations can provide substantial seizure reduction in responsive neurostimulation patients who have not responded adequately to standard high-frequency protocols. This approach appears safe and may work through extended stimulation time rather than increased charge delivery. While these results are encouraging and suggest clinicians should consider low-frequency alternatives for non-responding patients, larger prospective studies are needed to confirm these findings and identify which patients are most likely to benefit from this approach.